Welcome to the Adventure Traveler. I'm your host, Brian Hurricane Smith. One of the most iconic adventure travel destinations is the Grand Canyon. Some of the images are just absolutely stunning. The experiences are great. My guest today is Ray from Just Roughin' It Adventure Company. Ray, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me on the program today.
Now, Just Roughin' It offers backpacking, hikes, and camping in and around the Grand Canyon. What makes camping and backpacking such a great way to experience the Grand Canyon?
There's over 5 million people that visit the Grand Canyon every year.
Wow.
But a small percentage of them, yeah, it's amazing. It's more than Banff. There's only a small percentage of the people that actually decide to descend below the rim. Most people are just, you know, they spend a couple hours up on the rim taking a look at the viewpoints, but it's a very special experience to be able to stand at the bottom of the Grand Canyon and look up at the rims and really get to see the canyon in a way that few people experience it.
A different perspective on everything.
It really gives you a different sense of perspective on the place, because when you're standing on the rim, it's very hard to determine, you know, how vast the canyon really is, how deep it is.
I mean,
on average, the canyon's over 2.5 CN towers deep.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. Kind of give you some perspective. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people just give you a Canadian landmark.
Mm-hmm.
Take 2.5 CN towers, stack them on top of each other, and you got the depth of the Grand Canyon.
Now, with that many people coming to the Grand Canyon every year, 5 million, that's got to have a huge impact on the canyon itself. And there's some rules that you, as a guide company and a company that takes people into the Grand Canyon, rules you guys have to follow. Tell me about some of those rules. They're in place to protect the park and the people.
Yeah, there are. We, first of all, actually, this is all rules for every single person that backpacks in the canyon.
Right.
Groups are kept to a small size. Most campsites only hold 6 people. And then on top of that, the park limits the number of people that they will allow in the down into the park, what we consider the backcountry, to camp each night. So limited number of people, small group size, and they even go so far as when you're in the campground, they limit noise. They actually have quiet time from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. every day.
That's going to make the whole experience better for everybody and lessen the impact on the environment down there as well, too.
The desert's a very fragile ecosystem. And by limiting the number of people and also limiting the number of campsites, they're trying to create a smaller footprint where there is impact.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you can just walk down into the canyon and pick any old place in the desert to camp. You have to camp at existing campsites, ones that are in the main campgrounds that are already marked. But if you're in a more remote trail, you have to find the campsites where people have camped before. And they're pretty obvious because there's no vegetation.
Right.
If someone were to clear out a campsite in the canyon and try and start their own new campsite, it would take years for that vegetation to grow back. Without a whole lot of water, plants grow pretty slowly.
Right.
And so, the Park Service has created a lot of rules. The whole concept is called Leave No Trace. There's actually a place here in the U.S. called the Leave No Trace Center for Outdoor Ethics. It has 7 main rules about making sure that you leave the backcountry in the same condition or even better when you leave a campsite.
Yeah, and you were saying that because down in the canyon it is so dry, even if you were to, say, toss out an apple core, and if you're in a more humid environment, you don't really think much about, you know, the apple core is going to rot away. But in the desert environment and the dry environment, it's different.
Yeah, it is. That's one thing we have to concern ourselves with. We have a lot of tour guests that come from the East Coast or come from the Midwest where the conditions are really humid. And, you know, if you threw an apple core into the woods, it would rot away pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But in the desert, an apple core could stick around for 6 months before it actually starts to degrade. Same thing with an orange peel.
Wow.
And then on top of it, it attracts ants. And the ants can be pretty nasty in the desert, too. It's an education for a lot of people that we have to say, you know, really do have to carry everything out. It's not a pleasant subject, but we have to address it with people.
Uh-huh.
When you have to go to the bathroom, when you're on a trail that's out of the way, is you dig a hole and do your business in the hole, but you have to pack out your used toilet paper. Paper products actually stick around in the desert for a long time. And just to let you know, with guide services only account for about 5% of all of the backpacking that occurs in the Grand Canyon. Most people go and backpack in the Grand Canyon by themselves. The main trails are set up in such a way where they are very easy to follow. They're like small roads. There's 350 miles of trails in the Grand Canyon. There's 31 miles of main trails, and those are set up where the average person with some hiking experience, maybe they backpacked before, once before, they can backpack the Grand Canyon without the need of a guide. They're very easy to follow. The campsites are set up in such a way. The main three main campgrounds have picnic tables at every campsite. They have toilet facilities.
Oh, nice.
If you want water, you just turn on the faucet.
Oh, yeah, okay.
A main pipeline along the main trails of the canyon, which is amazing. I mean, the
nice.
Park Service has put in a very nice infrastructure there. Believe it or not, that pipeline creates less impact on the environment. Otherwise, you have a lot of people filtering out of the creeks, maybe doing their dishes in the creeks.
Right.
And misusing the water that's there.
Right. How many people then, over the course of a year, since so many millions of people come to the Grand Canyon, that go off the main trails and they want to get a little more adventurous, they're without a guide, how many people get into trouble in the Grand Canyon?
There's quite a few. There's about 350 to 400 rescues each year. It's an environment that fools a lot of people because of the temperatures. The way to look at the Grand Canyon, it's like a mountain in reverse. Temperatures right now at the top of the canyon are about 75 to 80 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get down to the bottom, so temperatures will increase by about 20 to 30 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
So right now at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, we're looking at temperatures that are about 95 Fahrenheit, 95 to 97 today.
Well, in the middle of summer, that's going to be even more acute.
Temperatures during the summer will exceed 100, and so it's exceeding 38 Celsius.
If you're not properly prepared, that can kill you.
And that's what happens. Yeah, people do die in the canyon, and there is a pretty fascinating book written by one is a physician from the Grand Canyon Clinic, and the other one is a longtime river guide. It's called Death in Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a cautionary tale. They actually went through all the documented deaths in the canyon and categorized them, whether it's a river death, exposure death, death by falling. And they found like certain trends, like the average age demographic of someone who falls in the canyon is a male between the ages of 18 and 40.
Ooh, I'm out of that demographic. I'm safe.
Exactly. And what they found is there's certain things that can happen that causes people to get into trouble. And it's a lot of small errors, one being lack of preparation.
Yeah.
The other is just overestimating what the person can do and underestimating the canyon. A lot of things just kind of snowball to the point where...
They all kind of compound and add up.
Exactly, yeah.
What kind of critters are wandering around down there?
There are quite a few. The big ones, I'll start from the big and go down to the small. Believe it or not, within the canyon itself, you can see a lot of mule deer. Also, you see bighorn sheep. Not as often as the deer. The deer actually hang around a lot of the campgrounds.
Well, they've learned. That's where they're going to get some food, too, a little protection.
Yeah, and there's lots of rules about not feeding the animals, because that actually will, again, just cause more harm than good eventually.
Of course.
And then you can also see smaller animals, like there's skunks down there. At the bottom of the canyon, there are also there's a type of animal called a ringtail, which looks sort of like a cross between a raccoon and a cat.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a nighttime animal. Lots of squirrels and mice. And then when it comes to the reptiles, you'll see there are lots of different species of lizards. There's tarantulas that you'll see from time to time.
Right.
Scorpions, that's a big concern for a lot of people. And there are several species of rattlesnakes, including a Grand Canyon pink. It's a rattlesnake that's solely found in the Grand Canyon, and it is one of the slowest snakes I've ever seen.
you can outrun it. Okay, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. You'll see rattlesnakes are beautiful creatures in the fact that they give you fair warning.
Yeah.
That's what the rattle is for. The rattle tells you that you're too close, so you stop. You identify where the snake is, and then you start backing up slowly until it stops rattling. Then that's the comfort zone, and you just
of course.
Walk around that circle and you're fine.
Yeah.
And Grand Canyon pinks, I've seen them just lay on the trail and not even rattle when you approach them sometimes. There's one at a campground called Indian Garden. It seems like he's a fixture there. And he'll just wander in between the campsites. People are all going ooh-ah, taking pictures of him, and he really doesn't bother anybody.
What does Just Roughin' It provide for campers, and what should somebody pack if they're joining one of your expeditions?
We provide everything. We're a full-service company. So if somebody, with one of your listeners, were to take a trip with us, we provide all of the gear except for we provide all the major items. So there would be miscellaneous things that you would need to bring, like a way to carry water, a headlamp, And then down to small things like a personal first aid kit with just like a laundry list of small items, your clothing, your toiletries. But we take care of the tents, backpacks, sleeping bags, all of the major stuff.
Right.
And we also provide all of the food. Permits are taken care of by us, and that sometimes is more difficult than hiking the canyon. Actually,
bureaucracy, gotta love that.
You were talking about all the rules and regulations before. Believe it or not, the canyon has a lottery process in place to actually obtain a permit to camp below the rim. That's what we work through. We jump through all those hoops to get the permits for people.
Yeah.
And then also we provide transportation, round-trip transportation from Phoenix. So if somebody were to fly from Calgary down to here, we have hotels that we'll provide transportation from in the Scottsdale area.
Oh, yeah. Nice. You take care of everything.
We're trying to make it as hassle-free as possible.
Nice.
We know how it is, the other owner and I, we're travelers ourselves, and we not only are we adventure travelers, but we like to travel to urban areas as well. Mm-hmm. And we know what it's like. You fly to a strange city, and you have to try and find your way around. So we try and make it as easy as possible.
Oh, excellent, excellent. What do you love most about what you do?
It's meeting people from all over.
Yeah.
That still keeps it exciting. I mean, I've spent many days below the rim of the canyons, guided in many areas of the West. But it's actually being able to see, not only finding out about different cultures, different states. We have guests from all over the country, and also we have a lot of people that come down from Canada to take our tours.
Yeah.
But, finding out about cultures from around the world. And then also, kind of seeing the canyon through their eyes, because
it's
the first time they've seen it. I may walk by one rock or one formation or something in the canyon. I've walked by it many times, but they see it, and it's brand new to them, and they may look at it in a different way. Like, one person may look at some rock formation as looks like a monk, or somebody else may say it looks like a bird perching, or they all look at it differently.
Keeps it fresh for you.
That's what's really neat. It keeps it really fresh, even though you hike the same trails a lot, it's still just kind of seeing it through their eyes is really neat.
Hey, where can somebody get more information about the tours you offer?
You can get more information by calling us at 877-399-2477. That's the toll-free number, good way to get a hold of us. Or the way you can get a lot of information about our trips is through our website. And our website, we try and put as much information on there as we can, so you have a full picture of each trip. The website is justroughinit.com. And
that's roughin, like not roughing, but roughin it.
Yeah. We take the second G off of roughing. So it's just roughinit.com. JustRoughinit.
Ray, appreciate your time today. And it sounds like a very, very exciting trips that you offer down through the Grand Canyon. One-of-a-kind trips.
Definitely. We really appreciate, again, Brian, thank you very much for having us on the program and letting me talk about what we do. I mean, I love talking about the canyon. Obviously, as you could tell, I could talk about it for a long time.
This has been The Adventure Traveler. To hear more in our series of interviews, go to our website, nationaltravelradio.com. I'm your host, Brian Hurricane Smith. Thanks for listening.